Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the World Wide Web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What wretched thing have you discovered lately? Would you please share your discovery by sending all things wretched, sermon, stories, articles, anything you deem to be wretched, idea@wretched.org. If and you want a question, comment, conundrum, snark, you can do it there or text away 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Jimmy.
Well, no, that's how this question started.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Todd. Why aren't some of those videos you post on YouTube found on Fortis Plus?
No, I don't know. I don't understand these things. We've talked about it, I guess, but I don't know. The social media thing, I'm telling you, I don't know if the DSM-5 has it articulated yet, but I have a thing. So like electronic stuff, I'm telling you, it's like technology dyslexia. I just, my brain gets totally addled. So the answer to your question, I don't know. Are you happy?
There you go.
It's like you just put a little stick through my cage and gave me a poke. I don't understand these things. You know what I've learned though about social media and marketing? I'll tell you, so it's probably choose a better word. So I don't even have to explain what I don't mean. It's so diverse. It requires so many different skill sets. These days, it's my observation. You can't just say, I'm in marketing. Well, what aspect of it? And because there's like 6,500 different aspects with different skill sets that are demanded because of the internet, social media, computer skills, marketing skills, creativity. And then there's other delivery mechanisms like print or a TV rate. It's like, it is so broad a field these days. And it takes so many people to do marketing. It ain't like it used to be. Ditto, social media. Maybe we'll add those videos someday. Hey, did you know, however, that Fortis Plus, which is free, is also available on the thing with the deal? See, there it is again.
Dealey Bob.
You know what I'm talking about, yeah. The TV.
That's it.
Didn't they used to call it the idiot box?
The boob tube.
Because it just made you a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Because it just, how much more so social media? Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You get the app right there.
Yep.
And it's all free. 877-282-2337.
So this next question is only being asked because it's a test for you. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I want to be informed on what's happening around the world and how to pray for the church. Do you have any recommendations on how to stay informed about global Christian news? Could you recommend some reliable news sources?
Well, you got a smirk on your voice.
I'm just waiting.
Is it supposed to be Jimmy's news that you're wanting to hear?
I mean, that should be our first answer.
You know what? I will. We're contractually obligated to say so. I will say this. You don't even need to keep up on all of the stories that are happening around the globe. There's too many to chase. Yeah. Jimmy, you see them every day.
Oh, yeah. And I think you've said this before you even give your answer. We have access to so much and we probably know a little too much.
Well, that's true too. But if you want to know what you can pray for around the globe for the church, think big categories. Because Like you can go find Christian Post regularly puts them up. Not the Beast sometimes talks about them. I suppose Voice of the Martyrs might have a lot of those stories. But you can rest assured our brothers and sisters are taking a beating even as we speak. And you can be praying for them like a nobody's business because they need it. I'm seeing a huge uptick in Africa. And of course, it's the religion of peace that is killing the Christians. So you can be praying for persecuted believers. You can be praying for dispersed believers. You can be praying for Christians who are discriminated against. You can pray for the Christians whose churches are being burnt down, the pastors who are being beaten bloody, and the members are being intimidated. It is going on all over the globe. So you can be praying. I think that's one big category, our persecuted brothers and sisters. Here's another category, biblical fidelity, that more and more churches would stick to the Bible. Third, you could pray for Christian unity inside of the body, that the body would live at peace with one another. So think big categories and be praying for those. And I would encourage all of us to follow your lead and do it daily. We have it. I know we see the threats. We see what's happening in England and in Canada, and we think it's coming here. And I think you're right. But in the meantime, it has been, and it continues to be, at least at the moment, so easy here. We're so much freer than others. And just our quality of living is so high. It's not like we want to sell everything and live in a refrigerator box. I'm just saying we should be really, really grateful. Because if you live in the West, you live in a very good place. You've seen those videos where students on the campus, this country's horrible, terrible. So if we bought your plane ticket and you could go live in any other country and get out of America, would you take the deal?
Well, no, I don't know, man, but Trump is awful.
Okay, asked and answered, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Alex. Todd, should we be ecumenical from a distinctly Christian standpoint with Roman Catholics, given this glaring first order doctrinal error we have with them? Or more plainly, should we as Protestants evangelize Roman Catholics?
Well, the Roman Catholics have actually answered that question for us about 500 years ago at the Council of Trent, where they deemed us to be anathema for believing in grace alone. They're also not big fans of eternal security. Nevertheless, they drew that line in the sand. We tend to think, well, it was the Protestants. Well, I'll tell you who codified that quite clearly, because the reformers were trying to, reform the church, which was the Roman Catholic Church. Obviously, didn't work out, but it was the Roman Catholic Church who made it very, there's at least a dozen anathemas against Protestants. We're simply divided on the essential issues. We just don't have agreement. And we all know the big doctrines. It's the office of the papacy, praying to Mary or esteeming her as the co-redemptrix. Ooh, that's just so blasphemous. Bible alone, justification. Our doctrine of justification is just different. So should we be evangelizing Roman Catholics? Yes. Yes, we should. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Henry. Todd, if my pastor preaches a sermon that has some biblical errors in the message, do I confront him about it?
Depends on the biblical errors. What degree, what level, how sure are you? To know for certain, you're going to have to talk to the man. And be Socratic. Approach with questions and not accusations. Hey, pastor, did I hear you right when you said fill in the blank? So make sure you do your best to be accurate in your understanding of what he said. And maybe even before meeting with him, if he's a stout guy, he has just been faithfully preaching the word, he's not wonky in any way, assume, for starters, that you heard it wrong. And if it's like, well, it could have meant, well, why don't you put the best construction on it and let it go. Now, if it becomes just incessant, well, that could be indicative of a deeper issue. So you could go to him. But again, do it with the hope that you have got it wrong. Pastor, did I hear you, Riley? Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Wouldn't that be sweet? Those can be great conversations. But if you go in, so pastor, you said this, I'm looking at my study notes here. That's not the way. Ask him questions. And this would also, I think, be a message to all of us. When you've got an issue with your pastor, you've got an issue with elders, your elders' decision-making, if these are good guys, be inclined to let them lead. Adopt that posture. They're not... I was reading an article, and we might get to it next week. It was from Sam Rainer, I think. Yeah, here it is. The top reasons for church conflict. Why fights start over trivial matters. Look, these things are deep. The way that I see it, we'll talk about it when we tackle that subject, but the way that I see it is business stuff, that's not that personal. What do you mean? That you want the company to purchase those things. I think that's a bad fiscal decision. But it doesn't grind your gears. But church issues do, don't they? That's like, what do you mean you want yellow lines in the parking lot? They need to be white. Because look at the color of the door. The yellow isn't in the same color wheel. And off we go. Why? There's something about church issues. It's something about family issues that are different. And so we want to be aware that we sure can get into a lot of arguments, and one of the ways to avoid them is communication and putting the best construction on everything. And if you've got good elders, do the best you can to let them lead. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love.
Then came the notes.
Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness.
Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths.
And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe?
We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100.
was a student of the Apostle Peter and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes. Yes, I know I've said this already, comma, but this is Wretched Radio. I believe it was earlier this week, talked about the pastors who I believe have shot themselves in the foot. The pastors who determined it's really important that I'm relatable, that, you know, they've got to understand I'm not like this super spiritual dude that they can't talk to, and they should be able, therefore, to receive what I'm preaching more openly because I'm accessible. Look, a pastor should always be accessible, but not at the expense of dignity and filling the office. It is my contention that when the pastor becomes accessible and cool, as opposed to dignified and esteemed, it opens Pandora's box for a church. And you should not, as a sheep, just whatever the shepherd says, man, I'm never going to check them. I'm just going to honor that office and I'm going to do what I'm told and I'll be except. Nobody's suggesting that. But is it possible we've all become a little bit too critical because we don't esteem the office highly? I remember when I was a kid, I didn't go to church until like seventh or eighth grade, but I remember our pastors. It's like, they're different. They comport themselves different. They would walk into a room. I think I even remember at my graduation that I think two of them came to the party, and the atmosphere just changed when they walked in, because it's like, oh, there's the pastors. Now, they shouldn't be put on an inappropriate pedestal, but they are the spiritual leaders of the church to tend for your soul. And that office, the more it is esteemed, I think the fewer fights that we have, because we are inclined to fight. We are inclined to want it my way, and we can't all get our own way. And so maybe, just maybe, if pastors, they don't want to comport themselves in a way that says this office is really important, then maybe we can all be working on esteeming that office despite what it is that they wear when they preach or how they carry themselves, that we esteem the office. And maybe, assuming the guy is good, assuming the guy is trying, that we don't become hypercritics of the elders. It will do your heart good like a medicine. And as long as I brought up the subject of clothing, don't know if I mentioned, but Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we were at UNG in Kennesaw State, and I wore a suit and tie. Okay, it wasn't a suit, a sport coat, tie. And I addressed it up front. And I could be wrong about this because, you know, you can't always read the room rightly, but I think it was actually beneficial that I addressed it. I said, hey, let's just get this out of the way because you're thinking about it. Dude, what's with the suit and tie? You kind of overdressed for the occasion. And I said, I don't think I did. And here's why. Number one, I want to communicate that I honor you. I'm glad you're here. Second, I think what we're discussing is more important than football. Why is it that sportscasters dress up in designer suits? I'm telling you, those dudes dress to the nines. The people on the Golf Channel, the Tennis Channel, they don't come close to the way that football commentators dress. And what we're going to discuss is more important than a pigskin. Going to talk about your soul. Going to talk about reality and truth. Going to talk about eternity. These things are big and important. And I wanted to express that and communicate that to you, that what we're doing here is important. Could be wrong. I think they actually appreciated it. Maybe it's time to move away from being cool as a pastor into being perhaps just a little bit more set apart. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Naomi. Todd, I need advice. My parents are planning their funeral and burial arrangements. They want me to be buried with them when the time comes.
Oh boy, I know what's coming here. This is a tough one.
Yeah, they plan on buying a few plots for themselves and my siblings and me. The thing is, I'm the only one married, and my husband wants me to be married with his family. He prefers not to be buried with mine. I'm so mixed, and I need some advice.
Let's acknowledge this is an emotional issue, is it not? Family stuff and burials and where you lay forever. It's important. And somebody's going to have to give. So let's just acknowledge that it's something about which I think we should be sensitive and thoughtful and maybe not really fist bangy. That's right. Fist bangy. Look it up. It's in the pastor's dictionary. Fist bangy. That's different than fist banging. A pastor who is banging his fist is fist bangy. Todd, stop it now. Does the Bible help us understand who should get buried with whom? And I think it does. I think it gives us direction. It's almost ironically like the issue of burial versus cremation. I think the Bible points us in a direction, but I don't think it demands or could possibly be used to call the alternative method a sin. I think the Bible points to burial, the hope of the resurrection, what it communicates, the esteeming of the body, not burning it up. I know it decomposes. I get it. But I think that that's the pattern that we see in the Bible. I think it speaks a better word. But would I make a law? No, I would not. Ditto with the issue of who gets buried with whom. We see in the garden that something dynamic happens when a man and a woman get married. The former covenant union, if you will, it's done, not done. It's not done because it's still your bio mom and dad, but it is done when it comes to authority and priority. Now your new family, the new covenant union, that is now your priority. And you're no longer under the authority of your mom and dad. This is a one flesh union. It's a new covenant union. So we leave and we cleave. Now, with that, I would say one of the options would be that you don't get buried with either family. You get buried together, husband and wife. But there's, of course, a problem. You're probably going to want your kids to be buried with you. But let's just kick that can down the street for a moment. One of the options would be, honey, let's just do that. We'll do this together. You don't want to be here as opposed to there. I think that that's a valid option. I might offer as a second option, both parties being willing to say, I'll be buried wherever you want to, dear, because that's what marriage is about. You're my priority. And so if you prefer being over here rather than over there, then I'll go over there because I want to be with you. I think that's an option for you. Number three, and I think this is one I'll try to make the case for. If the couple determines they're going to be buried with one family or the other, I think the tip would go toward the man's family as the spiritual leader. Historically, we've understood that the new covenant union leader, if you will, is the man. And so that is that covenant, and it usually goes by that last name. I think there's a tipping in that direction. And I do think to a degree we see that, I think, modeled throughout the Bible. Does that mean that I would apply it to say the woman has to get buried in the husband's family burial plot? No, but I think it tips in that direction. So now, how helpful was that? Probably not at all. But I think this is, if you're both willing to not insist on your own way, and if your spouse, whether it's the husband or the wife, is now your priority and you're really cleaving and one fleshing together, I would encourage you to work on your heart and say it just doesn't matter as long as you're with the one that you are currently in that covenantal union. It's a heart issue. And if you're both willing to assume that posture, no, then you're going to get into a fight. And it's a very good fight. No, I want you to have your way. Certainly not. You are going to get your way. And you can have that fight all day if you want to. Because what are we doing? We're submitting to the other. We're putting the other ahead of our own needs and desires. That would be your Philippians 2, Rexella. And we are serving one another in that regard. So I would probably spend my energies on that. I would spend my energies on that. And it might be a good time. It would be a good exercise. I'm not suggesting this is the case with the individual, the lady who wrote in. But I think it gives us a good opportunity to assess, have I left and cleft, id, cleavinglessness? Have I really left my family of origin? Am I really cleaving to my spouse? Is this the priority union? Because these things can, they can help you to examine your heart a little bit because it is so crucial. Who was it? The biblical counselor, maybe it was Bigney. I don't know. It was somebody. And that source reference is good enough these days. Talking about that they see, maybe it was David Cavalli. At any rate, I'm determined. It was Lou Priolo. It was somebody. Lou Priolo who said that it's the one of the trends is that they aren't really leaving. They're kind of, you know, trying to keep one foot in each camp. That's a recipe for disaster. Leave and cleave and still honor your father and mother. This is Wretched Radio.